town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Bethlehem, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the starlit night goes by. Yet in the dark street shineth an everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In Bethlehem, in little town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in Bethlehem? In Bethlehem? Am I missing something? In Bethlehem? Bethlehem, a small, otherwise unheard of, unremarkable town in this backwater farming community in the middle of a no man's land there? There? In Bethlehem? So let me get this right. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, is born in Bethlehem? Bethlehem means town of bread. Jesus was born in Bread Town? That the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, was born in Bread Town? I mean, that's not where we expect God to enter the story, in places like Bethlehem. I mean, if we had written this story, we'd have Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, come to a place worthy of those titles. He should have been born in a castle. He should have been born in a palace. He should have been born in a place of power so that the world would understand who he was. He should have been born in Jerusalem or Washington, D.C. He should have been born in a holy place, in the temple or in the Vatican. He should have been born where somebody would know that this was really the chosen one. He should have been born in Lambeau Field. So once and for all of you heathens would really know that the cheeseheads are the chosen ones. Right? That's where he should have been born. But the song says it happened in Bread Town, in Bethlehem. It happened there, reminding us that God enters in Bread Town means he can enter in any town. And if he can enter in any town, then maybe God can enter the story in every town. And if God can enter the story in every town, then God can surely enter it in our town. Royal Oak. Oh, little town of Royal Oak. How? It doesn't have the same ring, huh? Where else are you from? Oh, little town of Ferndale. Oh, little town of Hazel Park. Holly, a little town. No, this isn't going anywhere fast here, but you get the point, right? If Jesus was born in Bethlehem, it's to remind us that Jesus comes right into the midst of Royal Oak, and he comes right into the midst of Ferndale, and right in the midst of Hazel Park, and right into the midst of Holly, and all of these places. And the drama we saw here this morning gets it so right, gets it perfectly right. That's what it might look like if the first Christmas were to come right here to Royal Oak. In one of those hotels that you drive back and forth, up and down, right by on Woodward Avenue every single day. You've seen them, the Serenay Inn, the Dewdrop Inn, the Don't Ask Me What Happens Here After Midnight Inn. It's hardly a month that doesn't go by where somebody isn't knocking on the door of this church saying, "Pastor, can you put me up for a night in one of those places? Can you help me find room?" It It's so important that we realize that Christmas breaks in to places just like this scene showed us here this morning, because Christmas needs to be a reminder that God comes right here into this place. God comes to real places like Royal Oak, and it comes to real people like you and me. Christmas didn't come to a special place, and it didn't come to special people. What made Bethlehem special wasn't the specialness of the place, but the fact that God came there. And if God can make Bethlehem special, then God can make Royal Oak special, and He can make Ferndale special and Hazel Park special, because God enters the story in real places among real people. Christmas isn't reserved for special places, and it sure isn't reserved for special people. And we need to remember that, because if we forget that, if we start to think that Christmas is something that's just unique and special and out of the ordinary, then it's really easy to bring Christmas out every December, dress it up nicely for 4 weeks, and then when it's over, put it all back in the box and put it away until we pull it out next year. And when we do that, then Christmas can ask nothing of us. And Christmas always asks us a question. And what is that question that it asks us? It asks us, is there room? Is there room? Don't forget how this story starts out. It starts out with this Christmas couple, Mary and Joseph, literally going door to door, knocking on the door and saying, look, we need a room. Have you got room? God is trying to do something new here today, and I just want to know if there is a space where God can do that. Christmas begins by God asking the question, is there any room left in this world, any room left in your life for me to come in and do something new? So let me ask you this morning, church, you got room for Christ? You got room for Christmas? I mean, we live in a culture that doesn't have room, and surely doesn't always make room for God to show up and do something new. And I get it. I'm busy. I got places to go and people to see. I've got a career to make, a church to run, and I got kids. So I got soccer practice and swimming lessons and music lessons and dance lessons and choir at church and all of these things. I run back and forth, time and go, all the time, trying to enjoy these precious little gifts that God has given me without losing my cool. So I haven't got a whole lot of room in my life or in my margin. You have room for God in your life. How about room in your belief system? You got room for God to show up in the middle of your belief system and do something new, or have you got it all figured out? If you've got it all figured out, if you know the answer to all life's questions, then there's no room for God. And I just have to say that these last 6 months have been most difficult for a pastor who worked so hard to bring community together to see what this last political season has done. I've watched so many people who used to be friends who cannot even talk to each other anymore, because there was no longer room in their belief system for somebody who might come and see the world a little different than they do. If you got room for another way of looking at things, is there any room for mystery, any room for compromise? How about in your budget? You got any room in your budget for Christmas? I don't mean for shopping, I mean for Christmas. Or are you like me? Too leveraged, too much debt, too many gizmos and gadgets. Can I just be honest with you? I got a whole drawer full of plugs right now for every single gizmo and gadget that I own. How come? You want to make $1 million in this world? Figure out one plug for everything, right? Could somebody please create the universal plug, right? So we don't have to, man, I don't have room in my budget. There's no vacancy sign written across our lives, written across our culture. And that's why it is so important that we remember this drama scene today. Because I think the most important characters in the whole Christmas story are these innkeepers. And let's be honest, the innkeeper gets a bad rap, right? How many of you have ever had to play the innkeeper in the Christmas pageant? 3 years in a row. I had to put on my dad's bathrobe and stand up in front of the crowded church on Christmas Eve and get to tell the Christmas couple. And here's the deal, right? Maybe it's because I was the biggest, loudest kind of kid in Sunday school that I always got stuck playing the role of the innkeeper. I never got to be Joseph. And Renee Johnson, the prettiest girl in Sunday school, she always got to be Mary. And I always got to tell her, no room at the inn. Really makes you popular with the ladies, the innkeeper role. The innkeeper. You see, I think the drama that we had today actually tells us kind of more what happened that day. Because it's true, there was no room at the inn. Bethlehem was full. But because there wasn't any room, didn't mean that they couldn't make room. Christmas begins in a world that doesn't have room when the innkeeper decides to make room. And so I'm here today to ask you if you'd be one of the innkeepers who would make room for Christmas to happen. And I know that each and every one of you knows how to make room. Because at one time in your life, somebody has showed up for a meal that you weren't planning on them being there for. And you found a chair, and you found an extra plate. You cooked up another can of beans, and you made room at your table for somebody. At some point in your life, you've had to unfold the hideaway couch or pull out the air mattress. You've had to make room for somebody to crash on your floor because they needed a space for a minute. You know how to make room. Christmas is all about making room. Christmas doesn't happen unless you make room for God to do something new in our midst. I saw that miracle happen here this week. My friend Donna Yates, emails me out of nowhere. Says, Pastor, I know of this family. He's an Iraqi or an Afghanistan war veteran, young, 3 kids, moving into his new home and just lost his job. They're going to move into a house without a stove, without a refrigerator, without a washer and a dryer. Can we do anything to help them? And I'm like, Donna, it's Christmas. I ain't got time to help find stoves and refrigerators and all of this kind of stuff, Pastor. Is there something we can do? Thank God for Facebook. Anybody out there got an extra stove? Anybody want to help this family? 5 hours later, $1,500 donated, 15 stoves, 8 refrigerators, 3 washers, and 2 dryers. Anybody need a stove? Make room. Make room for Christmas. Make room. In a world full of fear, would you make room for hope? In a world full of despair, would you make room for joy? In a world full of hate, would you be the one who makes room for peace? In a world full of exclusion, would you make sure that even Evelyn knows there's a place for her in the circle? In a world full of greed, would you be the one who makes room for generosity? In a world obsessed with Christmas, can we still make sure there's room for Christ? So here's what I need you to do this week. I need you to be the innkeepers. I need you to make some room for God to enter the story in a new way. Look at your calendar this week and somebody in this place make some room. Look at your calendar this week and just take a half a day and do Christmas. I don't mean go shopping. I mean go get your kids and sneak them out of school. Go have a hot chocolate with them. Play a game. Go visit Dory Bridson in the hospital, in the nursing home, or any of our other sick or shut-in. Take the afternoon off and write notes to every one of those prayer people on our prayer list. Make room in your calendar. Go to a museum and look at the beautiful art. Do something that makes room for God to enter the story in a new way. Make room in your belief system. Please make room in your belief system to listen for somebody who comes at this world at a different way than you do. Make room for mystery. And please, make room to be kind. Have you seen the eyes of the girl that's checking you out at Target? She's not checking you out at Target, but she's checking you out. You know what I mean? I should have worked on that line a little better. Sorry about that. check out, you know, the girl who's, you know, at the cash register at Target. Yes. Look at her eyes. She hates Christmas. She wishes Jesus was never born because Christians have ruined Christmas for her. Would you make room for that lady who sits behind that cash register, and when you go through the aisle, would you just do everything you can to be kind to her? Would you ask her how her day's doing? Would you ask her what she's doing for Christmas? Would you do something to put a smile on her face? Would you look at that poor kid who's bagging your groceries at Hollywood Market, and would you just be nice to him? Who cares if he smashed your bread? Just be nice to him. Be nice to him this season. Be nice to the waitress. These are the people that make Christmas happen for us, and they can't wait for it to be over. Because they don't believe it can really break into places like Target and Walmart. So make Christmas happen there for those people. And would you make some room in your budget for Christmas? Not for the shopping, but for Christmas. Do me a favor this week. Go out to eat and leave an enormously generous tip. An unbelievable tip. A tip that makes no sense for no other reason than that you want to make room for Christmas. I'll tell you, she won't forget it, or he won't forget it. Do me a favor. Go into McDonald's, buy $50 worth of gift cards, and then stand at the door and wait for that frazzled mother to come in with those babies under her arm who are driving her absolutely crazy. And when she gets up there, just say, hey, this one's on me today. Find something to do. Go to Heifer Project and buy a llama, for goodness sakes. Carl, at Saturday service, he bought a llama. He's so excited. He's given a llama to a family in Honduras for Christmas. Because you see, Jesus was born in Bread Town, which means he could be born in any town, which means he can be born in every town, which means maybe he can be born in our town. As long as there's a bunch of innkeepers who are willing to make some room, kind of looks like Christmas can come just about any place. Amen.